when God's people gather together in this house, because there's something special that happens when God's people gather together. Of course, we believe that God is everywhere. He is the the omnipresent God that is in every corner of the universe. But God promises when his people gather together to be in our midst. And there's something special about when we gather together for worship, when we gather together to open up his word and hear from God. That's always a delight to me. As we enter into a new year, I'm always excited about what God has in store. In fact, if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to have you pull those out. Even if you've got your app, you can pull it out and turn to Luke chapter 5. And for those of you who are regulars around here, you might notice that we've been in a study through the book of Ephesians, going verse by verse through the book. And today we're going to veer slightly off that path. You know, I had all prepared to zig this morning, and this week the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, no, it's time to zag. We're going to go the other direction today. So that's exactly what we're going to do. So the series that we're going to talk about for the next few weeks is one that it wasn't in my plan, but I believe the Holy Spirit and the Lord wants to speak something to us as a church family. And our series this morning, as you can see above me, is called 5 Minutes with Jesus. And here's the big idea. There's some moments in life that are bigger than others. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You've got moments that we call defining moments, turning points, moments where our lives are transformed in a huge way, where the entire course and outcome of our life is changed through a circumstance or an experience or a decision or something that happens to us in our lives. And these are huge moments. These turning points are moments that we mark in our calendars. I don't know if you're like me, but when I have a moment like this, I write it down in my calendar and I say, I don't want to forget the day that this happened. Because I want to look back with my children and my grandchildren someday and say, this is when God did that thing. This is when that life-altering change happened in my life. And these are the moments that we celebrate. We all know what it's like to call up family members and say, hey, would you go out to dinner with me? Let's celebrate because this big moment just happened in my life. And there's all sorts of moments like this throughout our lives, right? For those of you who are married, the day that you were engaged was one of those kind of turning points. There was big news. There was celebration. There was an announcement to make to your family and friends and loved ones that this life that you thought you were living was now going to change path, that you were going to have a different life. And every day from that day forward would be different as a result of that moment. For some of us, it happens when we find that a loved one is become cancer-free or is no longer sick, that we know that we don't have to worry about that fight. We don't have to worry. Those sleepless nights are done, at least for now. See, this can happen so many ways when we get good news. Maybe when we hear of a job promotion. We just heard that we got a promotion, or we just got accepted to a school. It can be a number of different things, but there are these moments that change us. For some of us, it's the birth of a child that changes everything for the days ahead, or the birth of a grandchild that changes everything from that day forward. And those moments define things. And some of these things are things that we see coming. You guys have those kind of moments. You kind of see it progressing. Maybe you've been working at a job for years, and you kind of have seen, I'm working towards this thing, a promotion, a certain level in my company. Or maybe it's in a relationship. You've been struggling and working to fix it. Good morning. Thank you. I have one, but I'll take another one. Thank you. You're so sweet. I've been dealing with some sickness. So you're so awesome. But some of those moments are moments that happen in an instant. There are things that surprise us, things that catch us off guard, things that we did not see coming, things that surprise and delight us. And Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, his first earthly ministry, had a way of doing that sort of thing in the lives of people he encountered. People that met Jesus had their lives radically transformed in a moment. Things that they couldn't have wished for, things that they couldn't have seen coming, Jesus Christ was able to change in a moment. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. See, those things people discovered that 5 minutes with Jesus could transform a life with the supernatural power of God. And that's the truth that I want to talk about today, is that 5 minutes with Jesus can transform your life with the supernatural power of God. See, when we look through the pages of the Bible, we see people, ordinary people just like you and me, fishermen, tax collectors, people that just had ordinary jobs. They weren't spiritual elite people. They were just normal folks. And they encountered Jesus, and their brief time with Jesus changed something, because they found this truth to be evident, that a moment with Jesus can change everything. And that's what I want to talk about today, because I believe some of you are here today and you have a something in your life, some area that you need breakthrough, some area where you've been stagnant, some area where you've been stuck, some area where you feel like you've been trapped. And I believe God, in this new season, in this new year, wants to break through some of those areas in our lives. See, the same Jesus Christ that walked the earth some 2,000 years ago, that Acts says that was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, it says, the Bible says, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That same Jesus that healed broken things wants to heal broken things in your life today. And the title of my message today is Fruitful. If you're taking notes, we're going to be talking about being fruitful. And I believe that that's a prophetic word for maybe some of you in this room today. That those areas that have become barren in your life, God wants to begin to produce fruit. He wants to take those dead things and breathe life into them. He wants to take those things that have become broken and sick and bring health and healing and wholeness to those things in your life once again. And I'm going to turn to our text, Luke chapter 5. We're going to read a big section of text. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you're following along in your app, you can read that one to see the same words. It's also in your notes. But Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, and it says this. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, on Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them. They were washing their nets. They were done working. They had been in their boats. They had been fishing. They got out of their boats and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking to the people, he said, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. He's saying, Jesus, we already tried that in the same boat, in the same lake, in the same spot, with the same nets. We just tried that. But he says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats with fish, and their nets were so full they were breaking, and the boats began to sink. They were so full. Verse 8 continues, but then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. They couldn't even believe their eyes at how many fish there were. And so also were James and John, and who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This was a turning point in the life of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was, in a very real way, at the right place at the right time. He was just a guy that had gotten off of work and was finishing up cleaning his nets after a long night of fishing. And Jesus, unbeknownst to him, was about to change the entire course, the entire trajectory of his life. His life would be changed from this moment forward. Although when he woke up that morning, he had no idea. It was just another day. It was just another day going to work and going through the routine of life, the monotony of what he had to do. See, Simon was in the right place, and Jesus Christ came across his path and met him. See, today, friend, I believe you are in the right place at the right time. I believe that just as Simon Peter, that same God meets us here today and wants to change the future, the trajectory, the course of your life, if you'll but say yes to him. See, I want to share with you a few key lessons we can learn from Simon Peter's few moments with Jesus. Of course, we know that Simon Peter spent a lot more than 5 minutes with Jesus. But the first 5 minutes with Jesus, this initial moment he encountered Jesus, changed everything, as did the subsequent moments. And I want to share a few things that we can apply to our lives. Because a moment with Jesus can change everything, if we'll allow him. And there's three things I want to talk about this morning, if you're taking notes. There's three things of how we can be transformed by our encounter with Jesus. The first is this: be available. Be available. Verse 3 says this: getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Now, I want you to imagine Simon Peter. He had just worked a long shift. He was a fisherman. This was not just like an easy job. Not that even sometimes the jobs where we use our minds can be tiring, but he had worked pulling nets in and out and doing what he did. And along comes Jesus and says, "Hey, can you take your boat out with me in it? I want to go out a few feet so I can talk to the people." See, Simon easily could have said no. Jesus didn't demand it. He asked. Simon could have said no, but instead he said yes. He said, "Jesus, I'll get into the boat with you. Yes, Jesus, I'll go out a little ways from the edge with you so that you can teach. Jesus, I'll say yes and get in the boat." See, Simon was tired. How many of you have ever come home from work and you're tired? And you want to say no to any request that comes in. I'll be honest, I was telling someone this morning, I went to a park play date with my wife. My wife is a superhero. Those three boys will tire out the most fit human being on the planet. And she said, "On your day off, honey, I want you to come to a park play date with us." And I thought, how bad can this be? This sounds fun. There's a bunch of kids and they're running around the park. We'll just sit and watch. No. I mean, I was running around and pushing on swings and sliding down slides and chasing kids. And when I got home, I was tired. And my wife asked me when we got through the door, she said, "Honey, will you do this for me?" And I said, "Can I say no?" She said, "You can." That's a trick. That's a trick. It doesn't mean yes. It means no. But Simon was very tired, I would imagine, after a long day of work. He could have said, "Jesus, I'm a little too tired. My couch is calling. I've got a game of football, TVR'd at home. I'd rather go home and watch that. I'm done. I want to go home." But Simon didn't say no to Jesus. He said yes. He said, "Yes, Jesus, I'll get in the boat with you. Yes, Jesus, we'll go out a little ways and I'll spend a moment with you." And Jesus didn't force him into the boat. So the first thing we have to do is be available. We have to say yes when Jesus calls us to get in the boat. The second thing is we have to be honest with our doubts. And this is a huge area. We need to be honest with your doubts. Verse 5 says this. He said, Jesus tells him to put down his nets, and he says, "Master, we tried that." There's my paraphrase. He says, "Master, we toiled all night. We spun our wheels all night doing exactly what you told us to do with the same nets, in the same fishing hole, at the same place, with the same boat and the same dumb fishermen, and we didn't catch anything." You fishermen will feel how I feel when I go fishing. It's like I try the same hook and I don't catch anything. And somebody next to me catches like giant fish. But he says, "I'm not so sure in this plan, but Jesus, at your word, I'll try it." See, he wasn't afraid to tell Jesus he had doubts about Jesus' plan. And I think sometimes we're afraid to share and be honest with the doubts that we have. Somehow deep inside we think, well, I don't want to tell God about my doubts. I might break his heart. And somehow we think that the all-knowing God of the universe doesn't already know our doubts. Like somehow we pulled one over on God. But sometimes we have to speak about our doubts. We have to be honest with our doubts, because it's those doubts that we hold back that do the same in our lives. They hold us back. We have to be willing to come to Jesus and say, I'm not so sure about this, Lord, but at your word, I'll try again. God, I'm not so sure about this, but I'll try again. See, we're not keeping our doubts a secret to God. We like to think that we are, but we're not. None of us are fooling God. So bring your doubts to God. Be honest with him about the things that you question in your heart. Those things that you say, God, I'm not so sure about this. And finally, when we are available and we will be honest with our doubts, we can go deep with Jesus. Verses 4 through 6, Jesus tells him, he says, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And after Simon Peter brought his doubts and said, I'm not so sure, but at your word, I'll do it. Verse 6 says, when they had let down their nets, they enclosed a large number of fish. And let me tell you, the point of this story is not about how many fish they caught. I know for a fisherman, that's heresy, but it wasn't. Because they didn't even count them. They didn't even keep them. It says that after they got to the shore, they left everything behind. It wasn't about the fish, but it was about what Jesus was teaching them, that they had to go deep. So don't allow your doubt to hold you back from going deep with Jesus. Some of us have made the commitment. We've said, Jesus, I'll get into the boat with you. But when Jesus beckons us to go deep, we say, I don't know. I've got too much doubt. The harbor is so much safer than the deep water out there. We say, Jesus, I'm kind of comfortable sitting in the boat in this nice calm water, in this nice sunny cove. I'm not so sure I want to go out there. Don't let your doubt hold you back. You know, there was a time in my life that I had some doubts. And some of you know my story a little bit. But there was a season of my life that I was working for a large company, had a good paying job, was able to provide well for my family, which was just me and Rebecca at the time. So it was a lot cheaper. it was crazy how cheap it was. But I had a good job, and I felt like the Lord was calling me to take a step of faith, to leave this good paying job at this Fortune 5 company, it was at Apple, to go work for a nonprofit company. And here was the benefit. The benefit was I was going to go from a salary up here to a salary way down here. But I was going to have the opportunity to be closer involved in ministry in the church. And I knew that God had a call on my life for ministry. And though the pay was going to be from here down to here, and though it meant maybe not steak dinners, but it meant dinners of that like to Top Ramen dinners, I knew after praying and fasting and seeking God that that's what the Lord was saying. He was saying, go out into the deep, trust me in this place, and I'll provide for you. And so I made the decision. I talked to my boss and I said, I'm giving my notice. I'll give you a couple of weeks. I gave him 3 or 4 weeks to replace me. And it wasn't a couple days later that he said, I know your job right here is here, but I want to offer you a promotion up to here. And I was in this crossroads of saying, God, I like this up here. This down here doesn't sound so good, but at your word, Lord, I'll set out into the deep. And I'll tell you, in that moment, I was faced with doubt. And I have to tell you that I chose to trust Jesus and go out into the deep. And it was a season of Top Ramen and crackers, but it was a season that God blessed us and taught us and grew us and paved the way for us to be ultimately sitting here with you today. And so I thank God for me pushing through those things. So don't allow doubt to hold you back from the things that God wants you to go deep. Don't fear failure. Sometimes we are so afraid of failing that we're too afraid to get out of the safe harbor. Sometimes, even when we failed before, just like Simon Peter, we say, but Jesus, I tried that once, and it didn't work out so well. Some of us are really good history tellers. We're really good about saying, oh, I tried that, it didn't work. Oh, I tried that, it didn't work. Sometimes Jesus says, I want you to go try that again. And though you have the same nets and the same equipment and the same stuff, this time I'm in the boat with you. This time I'm sending you. Sometimes we allow our fear of failure to hold us back and we live in the rearview mirror. See, the truth is that Peter wasn't a prototypical apostle. He wasn't like an example spiritual leader, but Jesus was calling him to be one. See, Jesus didn't call him because he looked great on the outside, because truth was, he was a dirty fisherman. He probably smelled like fish. Some of you like that smell. I cannot stand the smell of fresh caught fish. He probably stunk. He probably was sweaty, but Jesus wanted to get in the boat with him anyways. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ doesn't call any of us to get in the boat with him because we smell great, or because we've got it all together, or because we've got a great resume. In fact, the gospel tells us that because of his great love for us, even while we're still sinners, Christ died for us, that he invites us into the boat, not because we're great, but because he is. And he wants to clean us with the power of his grace. See, he takes us as we are and says, would you get in the boat with me? See, we cannot settle for the shallow things, although often we're prone to that tendency, aren't we? I don't know about you, but I am. It's so much easier just to stay where I'm at because it's safe. I've got my anchor down. I'm kind of used to the scenery around me. I don't really want to go out into the deep waters because it's scary. But when we settle for less than God's best for our lives. We settle for less than what God wants for us. And sometimes we allow fear of our past, fear of our failure, sometimes even fear of our circumstances to stop us from doing, to stop us from saying, yes, Jesus, I'll set out into the deep with you. And sometimes the circumstances we're scared of are things that we cannot know. I believe that sometimes the things that we don't know are the scariest, the fear of the unknown. God, I would go out there, but I don't know what's out there. I've heard that there may be sharks out there, Jesus. I'm not so sure I want to go in those waters, right? I know what's here. I don't want to go there. And I want to encourage you, the same Jesus that was here, this was Simon Peter's first encounter. He demonstrated it even further a couple chapters later in Luke chapter 8, verse 23. Jesus is in a boat again. I don't know what it was about Jesus in boats, but he wanted his disciples to learn something. And he went out on a boat in the middle of this raging sea. It was a lake, but they called it the sea because it was so big. And Luke 8:23, it's not on the screen, you can just hear it. They're out on the boat and they're crossing this lake, and Jesus says, let's go across to the other side in verse 23. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus was tired. He wanted to take a nap. I say, praise God. I think that's a spiritual activity, taking a nap. Can I get an amen? Amen. There we go. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're dying, we're perishing. And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who is this then that he commands even the winds and the waters and they obey him? Friend, the same Jesus that was with the disciples in the boat as the raging waters were swirling around them, things that were put them at fear of the unknown, fear of what they did know, Jesus said, where is your faith? And here's the truth, friend. Jesus doesn't send us to the deep waters alone. He doesn't say, I'm going to sit over here on the shore. You go there. He says, with me in the boat, will you set out into the deep? And when Jesus goes with us, we don't have to be afraid of the raging waters or the storms or the breakwaters that's just outside of our safe harbor, because we live with the one and we go with the one that calms the raging seas. And no matter what we experience, he goes with us. Can I get an amen? That's good news. See, Jesus is calling for you to set out into the deep. He wants you to set out into those things that he's called you to. Just take a step of faith this morning in some area of your life. See, maybe some of you have settled for the shallow things. You've settled for being anchored in the calm, cool water. Some of you have settled for life on the shore. And Jesus said, would you come on the boat with me? Would you set out just a little ways from the shore? But some of you, Jesus is calling you to go deep with him, to press outside of your comfort zone. I'll tell you what, I'm always in prayer about a message. But I'll tell you, I was up almost all night last night because the Spirit was stirring me. There's a word for some of you here. God wants you to go deep. He wants you to take a step of faith. He says, I want to show you that what you've tried before and failed at is not the end of your story. I want to write a new chapter in your story. I want you to trust me enough to say yes, to put out into the deep again. See, I believe Jesus wants to give you a 5-minute story. A story of what Jesus and only Jesus did in 5 minutes of time that you never could have fathomed in 10 lifetimes happening. See, to Simon Peter, he never would have imagined catching that many fish, but he never would have imagined the life that Jesus had that began that moment he said yes. And I believe Jesus wants to give you a story. I'd love to see Facebook filled with a hashtag about 5-minute stories of what Jesus did in your life as a result of you saying, yes, Jesus, I'll set out into the deep. Yes, Jesus, I'll go out of my comfort zone. I'll say yes and step into what you have for me. I want to see a story of what God is going to do in your life. Not 20 years ago, not a year ago, but today, as you say yes to him. See, I believe that the same Jesus as we have in our church right behind me, as Hebrews 13:8 says, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that healed then heals today. The same Jesus that brought dead things to life wants to do that in our lives today. The same Jesus that brought a fruitful harvest from that which was empty and barren, Jesus wants to do in your life today. Jesus wants to do that in our lives today. Can I get an amen? See, Jesus wants to do that in our lives because a moment with Jesus changes everything. If we'll but say yes, if we'll be available to him, if we'll be honest with our doubts, and if we will go deep, if we'll say, Jesus, I'm available, I have reservations, but I'm willing to go. I'll tell you, there's nothing that God can't do with that formula, with someone who's available, may have doubts, but says, Jesus, I say yes. See, the truth is, Jesus changed the world. He turned the entire world upside down with just 11 crazy guys that said, I'm available, Jesus. I'm not quite so sure about all this stuff, but here I go. Let's go. And sometimes that's all Jesus needs is us to say, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what the next step is, but I know what this step is. I don't know what 4 steps from now is, but I know what my next step is. And Jesus, I'm willing to set that course, to chart that path, to say, Jesus, where you're leading, I'll say yes. Some of you, God wants to use today as a turning point. I believe for some of you, God wants you to say, yes, Jesus, I'll get in the boat for the first time. And for the rest of us, Jesus says, I want you to say, yes, Jesus, I will go deep with you. And that's my prayer, is that we would say yes to him. Would you bow with me as we close our time in prayer together? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me?